Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
I've been very, very thankful this week for how the Spirit of God is shining through this teaching by Derek Prince that's called The Disguises of God, or God's Disguises, and then we've kind of merged into a look at the titles of Jesus. Well, and I'm sorry my voice is a little bit raspy, but I got to tell you, I am an unbelievable sap when it comes to Christmas. I cry every time the angel gets his wings when we're watching It's a Wonderful Life, and I'm crazier about opening presents when I'm not supposed to than anybody else in my family. So I love Christmas, but I love it large part because it is a celebration of the incarnation of Jesus. And Derek's helping us understand what that incarnation means, what the power of it is, largely by teaching us these titles of Jesus. And today he's going to be talking about the Prince of Peace. If you missed yesterday's teaching, that was Wonderful Counselor, but today is Prince of Peace. And don't we need, not only in our world, but in our hearts, the reign of the Prince of Peace. So let's listen now as Derek teaches us about this important title of our Lord.
Let me repeat a word of warning that I gave at the beginning of my talk yesterday. For many people in our contemporary Western culture, Christmas is associated with materialism, commercialism, and self-indulgence. The Scripture has a very clear warning for us about this. Galatians 6:8. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. So much Christmas celebration is really just sowing to the flesh. Materialism, self-indulgence, tinsel, bright lights, things that may be all right in their place but have no permanent value or benefit. Let's make a resolution that this Christmas we'll sow to the Spirit. One important help to this is to keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus. Keep Him central. The theme that I've chosen for this week, Titles of Jesus, is specially designed to help you do this. I pointed out yesterday that in the Bible, names or titles are always significant. Every biblical name has a specific meaning, often including a title of God. And in addition, it often indicates something special about the character or destiny of the person to whom it is given. This applies particularly to the many titles given to Jesus. Each tells us something special and important about Jesus himself. Out of the many titles given to Jesus in Scripture, I've chosen certain ones to share with you, which I believe will specially bless you at this Christmas season. The title of Jesus that I spoke about yesterday was taken from Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The title I spoke about yesterday was Wonderful Counselor. Today I'm going to speak about another title taken from that same verse, Prince of Peace. Let me read the verse once more. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We have to understand that the word prince in the Scriptures always designates a ruler. It's not just a family inheritance or a title, but it represents someone who is an active ruler, responsible for government. You see, there's a certain emphasis on government in that prophecy. It says a child will be born, a son will be given, the government will rest on his shoulders. This is the first feature that's brought out about this wonderful child who's to come. And so let's look at that last of the four titles there, which particularly emphasizes his character as a ruler, the prince or the ruler of peace. We need to understand that there are two things in our experience and in human history that can never be separated one from the other. The first is righteous government, and the second is peace. This is true of individuals, of nations, of whole civilizations. Only insofar as there is righteous government, can there be peace. We've got a very limited and incomplete picture of peace in our contemporary society. We talk about peace as long as there isn't open war. As long as nations are not actually fighting one another with military weapons, we say there's peace. But that's really ridiculous. While there's bitterness, hatred, calumny, accusation, systematic attempts to undermine other nations and to outdo them, to bring them down, that's not peace. You see, the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, implies a lot more than that. Its root meaning is completeness, and it also contains the thought of order. So true peace is order and completeness. Now, the good news of the gospel, and remember that the word gospel means good news, the good news is the establishment of God's righteous government, called in the scriptures his kingdom. Many of us have missed this for many years. That's what the good news is, that God is going to establish his righteous government through Jesus Christ. Let's look at the proclamation of the gospel as it's given in various passages in Matthew. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He was the first one to proclaim the message. He said, God's kingdom, his government, is coming. Matthew 4:17, we read the first words that Jesus actually is recorded as preaching publicly. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," the government. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Notice that the good news is the kingdom, that God's government is coming to earth, and that we're going to be able to enjoy the benefits of that government. Again, in Matthew 24:14, Jesus describes his program to bring this age to a close, and he says this, "This gospel, or this good news of the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." All nations have a right to hear at least once that God's going to set up his kingdom in the person of the King, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And that's the only hope for peace for humanity.
You know, the great message of the gospel can be summed up in Western movie films this way. There's a new sheriff in town. The great news of the gospel, the great news of the kingdom, is that he on whom the government rests, he who is the Prince of Peace, he who is the Wonderful Counselor, now reigns in the world. That's what Jesus went throughout Galilee and other places teaching, and that's what we're called to teach, that there's a new sheriff and his name is Jesus. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through his Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing, yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas. Stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials, that message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Delighted that you're with us. And I got to tell you that I really am thankful for this teaching that Derek Prince is doing, because he's teaching us about the Prince of Peace. You know, the word peace appears on almost every page of the Bible. We are called to peace. We're called to have the peace of God referee and rule over our lives, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Why don't you take a moment and ask God this Christmas season to let peace indwell your heart and rule over your life. Let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us how.
Again, in Matthew 24:14, Jesus describes his program to bring this age to a close, and he says this: "This gospel, or this good news of the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." All nations have a right to hear at least once that God's going to set up his kingdom in the person of the King, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And that's the only hope for peace for humanity. In Isaiah 57, verses 19 through 21, we have God's promise of peace to all, but we also have a warning that peace is not for the wicked. Peace is not for those who refuse God's righteous government in the person of Jesus. We cannot have peace apart from the Prince of Peace, Jesus. This is what Isaiah says: "Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him." That's God's offer of peace and healing. And note that peace and healing go very closely together. But, it goes on, "but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." See, those who refuse government are like the sea that cannot rest. It's always tossing. It's never fully quiet. It cannot be totally calm. There's always the elements of unrest and disturbance there. That comes through the rejection of God's righteous government in the person of Jesus. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the ruler whose government alone can bring peace to humanity. Let's consider how this applies to our contemporary situation today. One of the most conspicuous features of the world situation today is the dearth of true leadership, political and in other areas also. There seem to be just two alternatives offered to humanity. The first is dictatorial oppression, totalitarianism. The second is weak, ineffectual leadership that doesn't really lead. It merely follows where the multitude want to go. It says decisions are often governed by the Harris or the Gallup polls. That's not leadership. Well, people are faced with two unwelcome alternatives. They're afraid of oppression, but they're tired of the confusion due to ineffectual leadership. So what is the solution? The answer is Jesus is the only solution. Humanity is being prepared to accept that solution. Humanity is being faced with the fact that there must be good government if there is to be peace. Humanity is also being confronted with the fact that man, in his own unregenerate, rebellious nature, cannot offer truly good government. And so God's answer is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. But thank God you don't have to wait till the future to experience the peace that Jesus brings. If you will willingly yield to the Lordship of Jesus right now in your life, you can have that peace right now. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 10, verses 8 and 9. "The word," that's the gospel, "is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. It demands a response of faith. And this is the word in one verse, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God has an answer for your problem. He offers you salvation, deliverance, healing, peace. But there are just two conditions. You have to believe in your heart the record of the gospel that God raised Jesus from the dead. But just believing in your heart by itself is not enough. You have to also confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. What does that mean, confessing Jesus is Lord? What it really means is, Lord Jesus, I'm accepting your government in my life. I've made a mess of it by myself. I'm not capable of fully governing my own life, and I don't really have that peace that you've promised. But right now, I make this decision to make you Lord of my life without reservation. Come into my life and take full control and govern me and give me your peace.
Listen to these words of Derek Prince. But we don't have to wait to experience the peace that Jesus brings. We can willingly yield our lives to the Lordship of Jesus and have His peace right now. You know, I said earlier there's a new sheriff in town, but that new sheriff, that new ruler, the one on whom the government rests, he's not just ruling to dominate and control. He's ruling to bring peace. He's ruling to bring the blessing as far as the curse is found, as that great Christmas hymn says. And that's why we submit to His Lordship. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through His Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing, yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Delighted that you're with us. And also in the studio with me today is David Holland, one of the producers of our show and a man who brings great pastoral depth to the things we discuss. Dave, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Stephen.
You know, I've been thinking about the teaching that we've been listening to all week. And I have to tell you that one of the great sadnesses that I have in my heart about modern Christianity is that people often know about Jesus, but they don't know Him.
Right.
They may be born again. They may go to church, they may read, they may love Him or the idea of Him, but I keep coming back to some scriptures that tell us that we can know Him. And when you realize that the word for know in the New Testament Greek is the same as sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, you realize the kind of intimacy that God is inviting us to.
Right.
And so as we're looking at these titles of Jesus, and we're understanding a little bit more about His nature, I've got to tell you that I'm not really sure, as much as I strive to know Jesus, that I'm walking in the full peace that I ought to walk in.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure that I'm walking in the fullness of His wonderful counselor benefits. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not beating myself up. I'm saying I've got a couple of master's degrees and a doctorate and pastored for 20 years. And, you know, if you're talking about knowledge and all that kind of thing, I suppose I've got as much as, you know, the average guy in the pew for sure. But I'm not experiencing and knowing the spiritual realities. And this Christmas, I just don't want to let another year go by without experiencing the depth and the reality of these things.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And one of the things that should characterize the difference between somebody who knows merely about Jesus and those who really know Him is peace. That title that's in Isaiah, the Prince of Peace, is very much all about what having Jesus be in your life and in control of your life is all about. I'm very mindful, Stephen, that today, this very day, somebody who is wealthy and famous and has every possible advantage will take their life. And they'll take their life because they lack peace. They have everything this world says that you should have and should desire, and yet they will not find this life worth living because they have no peace. And that peace is available in the person of Jesus Christ. To know him is to know peace. Peace doesn't come from knowing about him. Peace comes from knowing him. And that is something that is available to every single person who's hearing my voice right this moment.
And so it would have two or three applications. First of all, you can't know Jesus unless you're born again. You get born again by confessing him as your Lord, believing that he died for your sins on the cross, and that God raised him from the dead again. But then, of course, there's also peace that comes, and part of the progression here is that you read the Word of God, that you submit to it, that you take Jesus as your Lord, not just as an opening statement, but as an actual everyday reality. And then ultimately, that you recognize that he's the Prince of Peace,
sure,
and you allow him to rule over your life and bless you with those benefits. I'll tell you what, Dave, I want you to say what you're just opening your mouth to say, but I also want you to take us to prayer, not only for salvation for those who don't know him, but for the fullness of the manifestation of the Prince of Peace in the lives of those who do.
That's, I'm happy to do that. And what I was going to say is that peace is our birthright as believers, but everything in this world tries to rob us of that peace, tries to disturb that peace and rob us of our birthright, or keep us from enjoying the full benefits of that birthright. And so there is a twofold challenge here for the people who are listening to me who do know Christ, but have allowed a portion of their peace to be robbed by the cares of life, the pressures of this world,
yes,
the busyness of the holiday season. I want to pray for you. And if you've never known Christ and known the joy that comes from having that peace flood your heart and your soul, from knowing true forgiveness, I want to pray for you as well. Let me pray for you right now. Father, hear us. We approach just days away, Christmas Day, in which we commemorate the entrance into history of the Prince of Peace. I lift up to you those who hear my voice, who have been robbed of their peace, even though they know you, that they've allowed the cares of this world, the pressure, the stresses, the noise of this life, to come in and rob them of a measure of their peace. Father, I ask you to restore it now. I speak to those stormy souls and I say, peace, be still. And Father, to those who have never known you, who have never known your Son, the Prince of Peace, Father, as Derek said just a moment ago, there are only two conditions, and they're so simple. Heart belief and mouth confession. Heart belief that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for them and raised them from the dead. And mouth confession. And that's all it takes. So, Father, I ask them right now and lead them in that prayer that says, Jesus, I confess you as the Son of God. I confess you as my Savior, and I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, peace.
Amen. Amen. Great stuff. Now listen, if you have just prayed what we sometimes call the sinner's prayer, if you have just made that move from being lost and without Jesus to welcoming him into your life and welcoming that peace that he gives, I want you to do a number of things. First of all, get a Bible that you can understand and begin to read it. It's very, very important. The Bible is not just like normal literature like Clancy or Grisham or Shakespeare. The Bible is actually living words. It's got the Spirit of God in the words, and it will recreate in your life an understanding from God, the images of God that he wanted to express through those words. Very, very important. Second of all, it's very important that you find a good church. Church is not just a building. It's not just a place where people identify themselves as a group, like at a country club or, you know, some kind of sports club. It's a place where people worship God, where he manifests himself, where the Bible is taught, and where you can be encouraged in the things of God. So find a good Bible-believing church. We wouldn't recommend one here on the air because we wouldn't know maybe the churches in your area, but there are people who can guide you in that direction. Find some people who can teach you. Find some people who can train you. And begin to turn to the Lord. Listen, God is listening to you. He wants to know what you're thinking. He wants to know what you have to say. And he wants to communicate with you. So begin to spend time with him. Begin to pray. And I think, too, it's very, very important that you pull around you some like-minded believers who are passionate to grow in him and want to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. This is so important. And by the way, what a great thing to be doing this over the Christmas holidays and just enjoying your new relationship with Jesus in the same way that Jesus was birthed in a manger and came into the world. Now he's come into your life to change you in the same way that he's changed the world. David, so great to have you with me, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Be sure and join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
To request your copy of Derek's heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And take this opportunity to show your support of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift, 800-448-3261.
That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or request your free copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.